Good morning, Symphony Church. We will be reading through 3 John today, beginning to end. Just a note, after finishing out John's letters today and after our weekly psalm on Friday, we'll be starting our journey through Ephesians. So be sure to continue joining us for that. Anyway, 3 John, and I'll read that aloud for us. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he was doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. Amen. So while 2 John involved a letter from the Apostle John to a church somewhere and its members, 3 John seems to be written to an identified individual who goes by the name of Gaius. John writes to Gaius, and similarly to his other letters, he writes from a place of truth and love. We know that John really emphasized living in light of these two things, and it seems like Gaius has grown in living likewise. And so John's letter to Gaius is largely a letter of praise and encouragement. As I read through 3 John, something that strikes me is the way that John pens his words to Gaius. In every commendation and acknowledgement that John gives, there's such a warm sincerity to his words, don't you think? Like we discussed in yesterday's devotional, John, at this point in life, would have been really far along in years when he wrote this letter. He would have had decades of hard ministry, of losing friends and facing persecution, and of picking up his cross daily. And you would think that he might have grown hardened by those experiences. But no, John, in his speech, pours out love to his brother. There's a frankness to the way that he affirms Gaius and his conduct and good works that, at least for me, feels a little uncommon. I mean, imagine messaging or texting someone right now and saying, "Hello, beloved, I pray that all goes well with you and that you're in good health. You know, I rejoiced greatly when I heard that you are walking in the truth. It brings me no greater joy than to hear that." I think often, even within the church, we have an aversion to being really honest and really loving each other this transparently, you know, this unfiltered in our affirmation and our encouragement. We like to beat around the bush or say things as indirectly as possible, and a lot of times we end up making it kind of weird, you know? But I think we see just how much of a heart John has for his community and how important it is that he do everything he can to bolster it up and to sow seeds of gentleness and edification even in something as seemingly small as his language. John understood the importance of community, more than that, the blessing of community that we've been bestowed. I noted earlier that it was interesting how John spoke with such tenderness despite his harsh experiences, but perhaps it's because of these experiences that John learned even more the value in such words. You know, one of my favorite records of the early church is given by Tertullian about how the pagans would be puzzled by the conduct of Christians. They would look at the early church and they would say, "See how they love one another. See how they love one another." John actually records Jesus prescribing this exact picture of a loving community in his gospel account, where Christ says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And we see that in his own actions and even in his own speech, John shows that he is a true disciple of Jesus by sharing great love and affirmation and encouragement with Gaius. What about you? What about me? Do we have love for the brothers and sisters around us? When people look at our actions and examine our speech, do they say to themselves, "This must be a disciple of Jesus"? Do they point to us and say, "See how they love one another"? You know, people often describe me as quite sarcastic, and I always kind of cringe when that comes up in conversation because I actually don't consider myself that sarcastic. I think what happens a lot of times is I would say something a little more heartfelt or encouraging, and it would come across as sarcastic because it was so unusual for me. And every time that happens, I'm reminded that I have a ways to go. I'm reminded that I need more practice in earnestly showing people my love for them. I'll admit, it's hard. Maybe for me, it's because of some need to maintain a certain self-image or something, but I often have to fight to really show people how I love them. For you, perhaps it's also a communication thing, where you have these words and these actions and you just can't seem to get them out right. Or perhaps you're great at communicating love, but you're not that great at actually having love for others. Whatever the case, I hope that when we spend time with Jesus, who so completely and perfectly loves us, we're inspired to love our brothers and sisters. My prayer is that Symphony is a church that people can look at and see a community that is unusually loving in everything from their acts of service to their words of affirmation to the way we care for each other and meet each other's needs. The way we reconcile with each other and serve alongside each other and share in our joys and our pains together. One step at a time. Let's be more loving than we were before. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up this passage to you. I'm really inspired by just the love that John embodies, even in his words. And I pray for us that we can likewise practice in building up a life that is loving to others. Lord, more important than self-image or coming across calm and collected, I pray that we actually really strive to come across as loving, to come across as earnest, to come across as encouraging and affirming. Lord, I think we're continually being driven to the opposite side of the spectrum in this world where we just kind of keep things surface level and we don't let people in. And I think as part of that, we learn to withhold some of these words and these actions. But Lord, teach us how to live in your kingdom. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray that your spirit convicts them today to do this more and more. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.